In May, newspapers around New York and the country announced that Green Party candidate Jason West, a 26-year-old house painter, puppeteer, and environmental activist, had won the mayoral election in the Hudson Valley village of New Paltz. His opponents accused Jason of catering to uninformed college students who make up about half of New Paltz's 6,000 inhabitants during the school year. Jason and his running mates now control the village and represent the second mayoral victory for the Green Party nationally. We're joined now on the phone by Jason West to discuss his campaign and what it means to be a progressive young person in mainstream politics. Welcome.
Morning.
Well, thanks for being here, Jason, and congratulations on your victory.
Thank you very much.
It says that you ran for state assembly twice and for town council once before. What motivated you to enter politics?
Well, what happened was I've been politically aware most of my life, but didn't really have any I didn't really get politicized to the point where I was organizing until about 1998, when I helped a bunch of people here in New Paltz organize a demonstration against Governor Pataki, who had been raising tuition and cutting financial aid at state universities all across the state. And he came here for a book signing one summer, and a bunch of us organized a demonstration that turned out 300 people, and we did it in about 2 weeks. And just seeing the fear in the governor's eyes as he came out of that bookstore and saw all these people protesting his tuition raises, really kind of gave me a sense of our own power to actually make change. And one of the people that had helped organize that were two of the people who did that were the two people who founded the Green Party here in New Paltz. So they kind of organized me into the Green Party, and running for office basically became an extension of protesting, where you were given a chance and a podium and a platform to really bring concerns like universal health care, like environmental issues, like workers' rights issues, to a large segment of the public who you may not otherwise be able to talk to. Running for state office as a Green is, you know, basically a form of protest at this point. But you get your views in the newspapers, and you get these editorial board debates, and you get in front of the Chamber of Commerce, and you have a chance really to articulate a better vision for the world through that venue.
So now that you're actually in power in a village that's quite small and needs things like better sewers, what does that translate into in terms of both being a successful note of protest, but also a position where you have to meet concrete needs? What's your role now that you're actually in office as a Green Party mayor?
Well, basically it's just putting into practice what I've been talking about at podiums for the past 3 or 4 years, providing basic municipal services like road repair and water and sewer and things like that in a more environmentally friendly way, encouraging development that meets the needs of, for example, in our village we have a severe housing shortage, so we're finding ways to create affordable housing so the poor people can afford to live here in New Paltz as well as rich weekenders from Manhattan. And there's really not much else has changed except that now for the first time we have the resources and the authority to put into practice what we've been preaching for years.
What exactly is the Innovation Party that you ran on? It's part of the Green Party?
No. In New York State, you can run on multiple ballot lines, as anybody who's gone to vote in New York knows. You know, you see people running as Democrat and conservative and independent and Right to Life. You also have the ability to make up your own political party, basically, and that's what we did with the Innovation Party for two reasons. One is the three of us who won election, myself, Rebecca Rotzler, and Julia Walsh. Rebecca Rotzler and I are both Green Party members, and Julia Walsh is not a member of any political party. We all share the same politics, but Julia is just not enrolled as a Green. So we created the Innovation Party in part because it gave us a second ballot line to run on that wasn't the Green in deference to Julia's views on politics, but also because so many progressives in New York and around the country mistakenly blame Ralph Nader for George Bush's anointment as president in 2000, that we wanted to provide progressives in New Paltz an opportunity to vote for us and not have to vote for the Green Party. So we ran on two ballot lines, and we won election that way.
What kind of challenges did you face during your campaign? It seems that you seem to note there's some sort of like stigma around the Green Party now. Has that been the case, or has that been your experience?
Not in this election. In general, yes. But this election was really more about the issues we brought to the community and less about party labels. It's a traditionally nonpartisan election, so there was no Democrat, there was no Republican. Because the Green Party in New York State lost ballot status last November, we were able to run as Green Party candidates in this nonpartisan election. And the mayoral race, the three serious contenders, of the three serious contenders, I was a Green, and then the two others were both Democrats. So it was a Democrat, and a Green running for mayor. But outside of this election, of course, you're going to see the stigma wherever the party, you know, Democrats will howl spoiler no matter what the Greens do at this point, whether it's an accurate description or not.
Now, you were accused of splitting the vote of the other two candidates, and many of the village residents seem, as the New York Times put it, skeptical but hopeful or something like that about a young person, a 26-year-old in the village leadership. Can you talk about how you saw people perceiving you as a candidate and as a young person, some of the stereotypes and some of the ways that you addressed that?
Well, actually, to address the first point, we didn't spoil anything. Actually, it was the opposite. The kind of old guard, more conservative folks, basically ate into each other's base of support. The incumbent mayor and one of his challengers in this past election had both run together. Tom Nyquist was the incumbent mayor. Robert Feldman was a village trustee, and Robert Feldman decided to challenge Tom Nyquist for the mayoralty last year. And so they were really fighting against each other and really ate into each other's support base, with the result that 4 years ago when they ran together on the same slate, they got 500 votes. And this past spring, they each got 250 when they ran against each other. So it's actually spoiling working in favor of electing a Green in this case. As for the portrayal of myself and the Rebecca and Julia's candidates, I guess Rebecca and Julia can speak for themselves, but I didn't come out of this out of the blue. I've been a member of the Town of New Paltz Environmental Conservation Commission for several years. I served a year as vice chairman of that board and was appointed in January as chairman of the Town Environmental Commission. So I've been involved in setting public policy here in New Paltz for a few years. I'm known in the community. I've been a community organizer and activist for the 8 years I've lived here. I'm regularly at village and town hall meetings, and you know, I know all the reporters. So, I mean, I was known already in the community for the stances I'd taken opposing development here or supporting this project there. So this wasn't something out of the blue. There was some trepidation because I'm 26 years old. I had no experience actually being elected to government, though I did have experience in creating public policy. So it just really, of course, people were apprehensive. That said, there was a significant part of the community that was very excited about what we were saying about advocating for tenants' rights and advocating for the environment and advocating for working people and the poor here in New Paltz. And those kinds of issues resonated with people regardless of how old they were or whether they were students or non-students. We worked the working-class neighborhoods here in New Paltz. We made sure that the apartment complexes were hit, and those people are facing the same tenants' issues that students are facing. So the issues we raised really cut across age.
It says that you've put forth ideas to convert the town vehicles to soy-based vehicles, and to add solar panels to the town hall, and to improve the sewers. It seems that you're sort of balancing sort of idealistic visions and sort of very pragmatic goals. How do you plan to do both of those?
Well, I don't really see a conflict. I don't see myself as an idealist at all. I see myself as a very pragmatic person. I'm not advocating anything I don't think is necessary for us. In terms of the three issues you raised, what you're talking about, the soybean fuel is something called biodiesel fuel, which is designed to run in any diesel engine without any kind of modification. You don't need to buy new trucks. You just need to change the fuel you buy. Municipalities in New York State are required to buy their fuel through the state government through something called the Office of General Services. And last August, the Office of General Services made biodiesel fuel available to municipalities. So it's just a matter of changing the writing on our purchase order, and we can have biodiesel instead of petrodiesel and support this newer technology that is a cleaner burning fuel. It's less toxic than table salt. You can make it in a blender in your kitchen. and it burns much cleaner. So I mean that's one issue that we're looking into. The solar panels again this isn't really something. This is a very pragmatic issue. It's just a matter of how long term you're willing to look. Is that the cost of having an oil based economy, both in human lives lost through wars in Iraq, for instance, or in Afghanistan, the cost to environment of burning fossil fuels, and the cost to our democracy of having a government controlled and run by oil corporations are costs and prices I'm not willing to pay. Luckily, the state of New York has a program through the New York State Energy Research Development Authority where if a local government or institution or home can produce more electricity than it uses, then the local electric company is forced to basically buy that electricity. So what we're researching now is the cost to buy solar panels for all of our municipal buildings, which have huge roofs, see how much we're paying for electricity, and see if we can't produce more than we consume, and turn what's now a cost into, you know, basically spending money to buy oil into making money by using solar panels. And it's programs like that that I think, while they may be initially more expensive, are very, very, very much necessary, both to preserve our ecology and our democracy in the coming decades.
The Green Party's strategy nationally has been to focus on local races and take a grassroots approach to building political power. Can you talk about whether you think that that's at play in New Paltz and how you see local races like yours building up a national movement if you do?
Absolutely. Well, the national movement is already there, and we're a part of it. We're not really... we're helping it, but we haven't really created anything new in that sense. The independent politics movement in this country has been gaining steam for years, and luckily so. I mean, we're seeing less and less democracy here in the States. Yes, the policy has been to run local races. It's kind of like a twofold national strategy. You focus on local elections like ours that are winnable to build up an image of not an image, but to show what a green government can do. And this is something they've done in Arcata, California, in Santa Monica, California, and various school boards and village boards and city councils all across America, here in Hartford, Connecticut, and Madison, Wisconsin. At the same time, we run candidates for state office, federal office, the presidency, which do more to highlight issues that neither major party is dealing with, to spread the name, to get the Green Party to be a household name and to talk about our issues. And those are things, for example, here at the local level, we have very little control over health care. So we run people for state and federal office to talk about universal health care. We run people for local office to talk about providing basic services in an ecologically sustainable way. In that sense that we are very much building a movement, because here, for the first time in our area of the country, we have a green victory. And we're in a position now to show what that means in terms of governance and public policy. With the experience that we're gaining here and the people that we're bringing into our local government, we build their experience in government to build the reputation that's necessary for people to take you seriously in politics. You need to serve your time on the planning board, on the environmental commission. You need to know zoning regulations and what tax breaks are available and how you can tweak all those and change all those to get the result that you want, so you can get affordable housing, so you can get environmental sustainability. And hopefully, you know, we'll see here in New Paltz coming out in the next few decades, people running more and more seriously for county office and then state office, and hopefully we can take some state legislative seats and some congressional seats here in our area in the next few decades. And that's the kind of long-term thinking it's going to require. For too long, the right has been thinking in terms of 60, 75 years ahead, and the left has been thinking too much about what happened last week and reacting to it. What the precedent I hope to set, and with the assistance of the people who work with us here in New Paltz, is that we've got to really take a lesson from the radical right and start pushing the radical left to look 50, 60, 75 years down the road and have that kind of long-term strategy and planning, because our lives depend on it, very literally.
We're speaking with Jason West, mayor-elect of New Paltz, a town in the Hudson Valley of New York. Jason, what do you say to young people who are cynical about the electoral process and party politics and maybe even the Green Party, though the Green Party has had significant presence on campuses through Campus Greens? After all, the 18 to 25-year-old demographic has generally had the lowest voter turnout nationally. What do you say to cynical young people?
I said they have a right to be cynical. I mean, there's no there's for the most part, there's no reason to be involved in politics, because the rich and the corporations have bought and sold both the Democratic and Republican parties. There's really, you know, unless you want to play that game, unless you're willing to sell out, you're not going to get anywhere in politics. The alternative to that, and the alternative we're trying, the experiment we're trying here, is building our own political party from the ground up. Talk to your friends and neighbors, and get involved that way. That's the only way I could. I mean, that's the only way I could ethically get involved in politics at all. There's no way I could be involved in politics if there weren't a Green Party, if there weren't this independent politics movement. I wouldn't be here. That said, I don't have any illusions that all our problems are going to be solved through electoral politics. It's a matter of, in all cases, you've got to look at what you know, trace it back. What are the problems, the fundamental problems as you see them, and then look for weak points. Look for arenas that you can push and change. For example, I think one of the fundamental problems, in ecologically and economically and democratically, is that we don't have a multi-party political system. We don't have proportional representation. The system that they have in, for example, Western Europe, where if your party gets 5% of the vote, you get 5% of the seats in government. So we could have all sorts of radical parties in politics making change there. I also see the need absolutely for organizations like Earth First and the Earth Liberation Front and the Animal Liberation Front and the Black Bloc. We're all part of the same movement, and it's just a matter of finding what tactic you think is going to work in the moment. If you, for example, you know, we saw the opportunity to be elected to local government here in New Paltz through the electoral process, so we took it. When we see the opportunity to win a victory through tree sits, we take that opportunity and we launch tree sits. I guess my advice would be, don't be ideologically committed to one or another tactic. Be ideologically committed to the end point, to the goals, and find whatever tactic will get you there. In our case, winning elective office is one tactic that's going to get us closer to our goals.
One thing you're talking about is trying to formulate a sort of more long-term strategy. Because it seems when you look at sort of the history of progressive movements in the U.S., a lot of them are easily co-opted or sort of like become diminished or oppressed. And so what I wanted to ask you is, like, what sort of a long-term strategy do you see, particularly one that could perhaps like get like electoral politics and more radical groups to work together to create that sort of like more sustainable strategy for social change?
Well, I think, let me think. I think that one of the most promising developments, for myself, the two most promising developments in terms of this long-term strategy is the independent media movement and the independent politics movement, those two. I think the IMCs are one of the most inspiring and necessary developments in the movement in the past few years. The work that BII has done and Pacifica nationally is the same way. I mean, Amy Goodman, we were lucky enough to have Amy Goodman speaking at our inauguration here in New Paltz a few months ago, and she really tied those movements together. In terms of long-term strategy, I think what's absolutely necessary for the movement to do in whatever permutation or manifestation is to do that strategic thinking, is that it's got to be less about having an ideologically pure subculture and more about winning concrete victories. And I think that's my biggest frustration, is that especially in the anti-globalization movements, a lot of it became more about fashion and an ideological commitment to tactics like the Black Bloc and window smashing, and less about whether window smashing is going to get us our goals or whether wearing, you know, masks and patches is going to alienate more people or attract more people to the movement. And that doesn't mean I'm against smashing windows or against masks and patches. It's just a matter of looking at keeping the goals in mind and less the subculture. So that if masks and patches is going to get us a victory, is it going to get us a government or that is representative of the people, or, you know, protect old growth forests, then great, let's do it. But that's the kind of thinking we need to do, is we need to think more tactically and long-term and strategically about how to win and less about how to keep ourselves pure.
Well, speaking of tactics that don't alienate how are you looking to mend the rifts that may have come up in terms of town and gown type conflicts in New Paltz between those who see students at the university as a voting bloc that doesn't have a stake in the community and the students themselves who have possibly their own values and ideals that they'd like to promote and were willing to go to the polls to do so?
Well, that split was really more in the papers than it was in reality. Now, newspapers are always looking for conflict because conflict sells stories. The reality of the situation here was that we had quite a few students voting for us, but most of the people who live in the village are students or former students. I mean, we have a village of 6,000, half of whom are under 30. So if we're going to have widespread participation in government, which at this small level like a village I think is absolutely democratic, in a village of 6,000 you can physically speak to everybody who's going to vote and try to persuade them. But that said, we did have support from senior citizens. We did have support from small business people who liked the fact that we wanted to support them as opposed to Walmart or Starbucks. We had support from the working people who are renters and tenants and are dealing with the same landlords that the students are dealing with. We did have a fairly broad base of support. The people who did not support us were the people who really are working hard to gentrify New Paltz and make it into more of a safe bedroom community for wealthy people from New York City.
Now, speaking of New York City, were there advantages you had that maybe someone who's trying to do something similar to you, possibly run for city council, for instance, maybe a young woman of color running for city council in New York City, advantages that you had that she might not have in trying to break through in such a complicated, multi-layered, huge political machine versus the small political machine of New Paltz?
Absolutely. I don't think you're going to see many or any independents being elected from New York City in the near future. I mean, your city council races are larger than most state assembly races. Actually, a friend of mine down there told me that state assembly, the lower house of the state legislature, is the smallest office you can run for in New York City. I don't think you're going to see any independent political action coming out of New York City in the near future. What I would like to see is more of these upstate communities get organized and get independent politicians involved to build the reputation for public policy so that folks down in the city, 10 years from now, folks down in the city who want to run, regardless of whether of your race or gender, could kind of run on the reputation of what we've done. So we kind of can show people that Green Party people elected to office do make concrete changes that improve our lives, and that's something you can run on and help with those larger districts. And I don't mean that, I'm not saying that to be outright cynical. I'm just trying to deal with the realities on the ground. Unless you have a lot of money, and even with the New York City matching funds for city council races, I don't think it's enough. I don't see anybody in the foreseeable future in the next 10 years winning a city council seat or assembly seat from New York City, any of the five boroughs.
Then how do you see yourself allying with young activists in the city and trying to build up progressive power, even as the same possibilities for electoral action may not be available here?
Oh, I don't think that possibilities for electoral action are not there. I think that the nature of them changes. I think that it's a matter of dealing with the concrete numbers of how many people you would have to reach. I think that building up the IMC network down in the city is vital, and legitimizing that not only for young radicals but for working class people and people who don't have time to commit to a big research project on the state of the global economy. I think that the indie media newspaper is going a long way towards that, dealing with tenants' rights and squatters' rights issues down in the city, the issues that I've seen, and building up a legitimate alternative information network in the city. But I still think that people should run for office, because then you get to challenge these people one-on-one. If the newspapers, you know, at the public forums, you can actually point out the hypocrisy and corruption of the people who are elected to office, because otherwise it generally doesn't get publicized. I mean, everyone knows politicians are corrupt, but it's one thing to know it in general terms and another to have somebody up there at the podium laying out specifically how this person is corrupt and how they're ruining our neighborhoods and how they're, you know, weakening our unions and how they're weakening our tenants' associations how they're attacking regular people. And I think it's through years of that that, and I think it's very important to provide people an option. Because some people do vote, not everybody does, but for those who do, give them an option that's not just corruption and kowtowing to the rich and powerful. Even if you're not going to win, I think it's still important for people to run and provide voters and regular folks a real option to show them if I were elected, things would concretely change for the better, and here's how. Here's what I would want to do, and I think we should try to push for this.
You mentioned the feasibility in smaller upstate towns of running progressive slates of candidates. The population shift in New York State because of prison construction in upstate New York is pretty monumental, and some statistics indicate that a state assembly seat will be lost in Brooklyn over the next several years and sort of moved upstate to communities where prisons are built, where people are counted in those districts but are not allowed to vote while they're in prison.
Right.
Can you just comment on that issue briefly and how you see sort of the conservative forces upstate and prison politics factoring into how this progressive movement needs to build and if it's going to create alliances between upstate and the city?
Well, there's not really much to say except that about the prison, the population shift from the cities to the prisons. Until we can get those people, the felons in prison, the right to vote in their prison, I don't think we're going to see any of that change. It's unfortunately, it's kind of like a red herring too, because even the communities up here don't see any economic benefit from the prisons anyway. So it's all just a smoke and mirrors game. It's warehousing for poor and black, for the poor and for black people who the wealthy and the people who run our government don't want to see out on the streets, which is, nothing new. I mean, this is what that one statistic I saw is that funding for education has gone down in exactly the same amount of dollars that prison spending has gone up. I think that number comes from the prison moratorium project based down there in the city. Until we can stop these politicians from warehousing our people in prisons, and we're not going to see any that's not going to stop anytime soon. About building movements, I think that it'll be a good once we see. I mean, the movements that I'm involved in, things like the independent politics movement, the movements, the independent media movements, often at least up here, I don't know if it's the same as in the city, they tend to be fairly white movements, and that it's obviously a function partly of the fact that the place where we live are largely. It's a lot of white people who live here. But it'll be a good indicator of the health of the movement when we have connections not only from one middle-class, progressive white community to another, but also networks within the prisons that are up here in our communities. And the kind of organizing that is done, that was done in decades past, in the 30s and again in the 60s, for prisoners' rights and organizing within the prisons. Well, is going on now, but I think the movements are too segregated now to kind of link up effectively at the moment.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Jason. Do you have any final thoughts for our audience?
Well, there's just maybe one suggestion is that, and I guess something in the discussion about thinking tactically and strategically, one of the most brilliant kind of essays that has come out in recent years is written by Ward Churchill. It's called Pacifism as Pathology. And he talks about just this. It talks about the nature of the American left broadly to settle for symbolic action. And he calls for, among other things, to think instead that we have a moral obligation to win. And I think that whether you agree with him or not, I think he brings up a lot of arguments that the movement as a whole needs to really start thinking seriously about. And secondly, I think that it's a lot harder to sell out than people assume. I think there's kind of an irrational fear of selling out. And I don't know. I guess those are kind of just two questions I'm wrestling with. So I'd like to hear back from other people out there in the movement, and hopefully we'll get the conversation started.
Is there a way that people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can email me at mayor@villageofnewpaltz.org.
Great. Well, we've been speaking with the mayor-elect of New Paltz in the Hudson Valley, Jason West is a 26-year-old house painter, puppeteer, and environmental activist, as the papers have been characterizing you. Thank you so much for joining us here on WBAI.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
No problem.